Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining us. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble, at your pleasure, at your service, I should say. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you use it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and don't forget to check out our blog. I think you'll enjoy it. Those of you who have been using it, I know you are because you're spending a lot of time on it, and I appreciate that. We work hard on that, and it's always nice to know that it's being used. Someone who knows all about that, who produces a lot of information and people count on, if they don't just use it, they count on his information, is our good friend Steve Forbes. Many of you, all of you know who Steve Forbes is. Steve is editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, president of Forbes, the author of Flat Tax Revolution, probably, well, in my opinion, the most important book in 2006. Former presidential candidate, you've heard me say this before, I would like to live in an America where there was a President Forbes, and he's our good friend, he's your good friend. Steve Forbes, welcome back to the show.
Jim, good to be with you again.
It's always good to have you here. Steve, I want to get right into your economic perspective, your current economic perspective. A lot of times I wait till the end on that, but I want to start out with this because your May 22nd editorial in Forbes magazine kind of spooked me a little bit, Steve. You're such an optimist. You're such a bear. You believe in the marketplace so much that you are always so upbeat about the marketplace, and I get the feeling that you still are, but you're concerned about the monetary issues of this nation right now, aren't you?
I am. I think the Federal Reserve, headed now by Ben Bernanke, has been printing too much money. You have to think of it, Jim, as you would an automobile. You know, if you don't put in sufficient fuel, your car's going to stall. You put in too much fuel, you're going to flood the engine. I think, and if you put in the right amount, the vehicle has a chance to move forward and, you know, without any trouble. And I think the Fed has been just printing too much money. And we've seen it for 2 years. Gold went above $400 an ounce. That was the signal. And that's why I think we have a lot of the problems we have with oil and copper and a lot of these other commodities, not to mention interest rates.
You know, the average person out here, Steve, understands higher interest rates. They understand the Fed's effort to control the economy by raising and lowering interest rates, to encourage it by lowering rates and to slow it down by raising rates. But the money supply is something that the average person doesn't spend a lot of time contemplating. Can you give us money supply 101?
Well, money supply simply is the amount of money that the Fed pumps into the banking system, not to complicate things, especially early in the morning. But when they sell or buy bonds, they, in effect, put money in or take money out of the economy. When the Federal Reserve buys bonds, it puts cash into the economy. And when they sell bonds from their portfolio, they, in effect, remove money from the economy. But the key thing for people is not to look at money supply numbers, because that doesn't give you the demand for money.
Right.
Just one part of the equation. It's to look at the price of gold. Historically, the price of gold has been the best barometer of monetary disturbances. And when gold, for example, in the late 90s went below $300 an ounce, that helps set the stage. There was a shortage of credit that helps set the stage for 2000-2001, the slowdown there. And 2 years ago, when the Fed pumped too much in and went above 400, well, that's now starting to show up. First, it hits commodity prices, and it courses through the economy.
Right.
So just look at the price of gold. If it's above 400, you know, now it's a little above 600, that's a signal the Fed still hasn't gotten it right. And it's not enough, Jim, for the Fed to raise interest rates. We saw in the 70s, you can have high levels of interest rates and still have a lot of inflation. The key is simply to mop up the extra money that the Fed inadvertently, mistakenly spilled out there.
They can
do this in a matter of days, get this thing right.
Well, Steve, you've been consistent in this for as long as I can remember, for at least the last couple of years on the show. You have warned every time that you felt that the Fed was printing too much money, there was too much liquidity. But if they pull back on the liquidity, how would that affect small business owners?
I think actually it would help small business owners. Small business owners are hurt when you have these kind of disturbances the most. Big companies, they've got a lot of wherewithal, huge bank lines, they can easily get through these things. But small businesses don't have that kind of margin for error. They're looking cash flow very, very carefully. And so I think the sooner the Fed gets its act together, the less likelihood we're going to have for future spikes in interest rates, and that can only be good for business.
But isn't it good for small business when banks have plenty of money to lend?
Oh, absolutely. And we have, thankfully, liquidity now today. Corporations are very liquid, so there's plenty of liquidity.
Right.
This won't hurt the ability to borrow. This will actually help it in the future.
Stand by, Steve. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Right back with our good friend Steve Forbes, the author of Flat Tax Revolution. If you don't have your copy, folks, you need to get it. This is going to be debated for the next several years, hopefully till we get flat tax passed. 20 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Steve Forbes. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Steve Forbes. And Steve, why don't you give us that website, please?
It's the Forbes magazine is Forbes.com, www.forbes.com, and it's 24/7. And we now, Jim, have over 15 million unique visits each month.
Wow!
Including over 20-25% from overseas.
Congratulations!
Thank you. Keenly interested in business news and business analysis. Entrepreneurial class is growing.
The thing you're the most excited about, I think, is because is that it's profitable too. That's pretty cool for a website.
It's a money maker, which after years of losses is a wonderful thing to experience.
That's right. Yep, I can imagine. Steve, let's change horses just a little bit and talk about something that happened this month that I'm very disappointed about. I'm still mad about this. I'm not just disappointed. I'm angry about this, and that's the failure to get small business health plans through the procedural vote. It finally got out of committee after having been passed by the Senate by the House 8 times. Small business health plans had never been able to get out of the committee. Finally got it out of committee onto the floor. They had a procedural vote to prevent a filibuster, and it didn't go. It didn't pass. It was 43 Democrats and one Republican voted against it. Steve, there are a lot of things I'm aggravated at the Republicans about these days, but the Democrats are wrong on small business health plans.
Well, they're wrong on the whole area of health care, not realizing that by allowing people to get around onerous regulations, by allowing people to band together to buy health insurance plans, by removing some of the obstacles to health savings accounts, we can have health care turn in from a drain on the economy to a real growth engine for the economy. But with all these crazy barriers in place, then people in Washington wring their hands that we have uninsured, that businesses can't afford the insurance, and then they don't do anything about it. It's crazy.
You know, Steve, I'm glad you said what you just did, because it makes me think of what I've been thinking about with regard to health, these small business health plans. When I see what small businesses have done, how they've taken advantage of the capital that they're able to keep with the tax reductions that have happened over the last few
years.
When I think about what they would do by being able to provide more effective, more efficient, more economical health plans to their employees, to be able to provide better benefits packages to prospective employees, I don't think the people who voted against this have no idea what kind of productivity small businesses would turn those health plans into. I think our economy would leap just from that one passage of that one bill. What do you think?
Oh, I think that that's a given. The nice thing about small businesses is they can turn on a dime.
Right.
They don't have to go through committees, executive committees, boards, credit committees, blah, blah, blah. They see an opportunity, take it.
That's exactly right. And I want to thank Senator Enzi for pushing this through, trying to get it done. I hope he won't give up on that, Steve. Is there anything we can do to help you, or you can do to help us get this back on the floor in the Senate? We need to get this passed.
I think the key is starting to call those Democrats and pointing out they were fell to a scare campaign. It should not have happened. This thing was right on track to pass. Enzi and his colleagues have done a good job in getting this thing as far as they did. But it was last-minute scare tactics that derailed the thing. And so I think we have to do a counteroffensive and say, hey, you may have given into scare tactics, but there's nothing scarier than a lot of small business owners gunning for you.
You're talking about scare tactics. My friends in Washington, Steve, who lobbied for this really hard in the U.S. Chamber and NFIB and the Small Business Survival Committee, they said that the AARP was the main reason why, the AARP lobbying was the main reason why this failed. And so that makes, in my opinion, Steve, and I've said this before, in my opinion, as far as I'm concerned, that makes the AARP small business's enemy.
Well, sadly, the ARP is also the enemy of a lot of other good reforms that are needed, whether on the tax side, Social Security, health care side. They say they're for elderly Americans, but they're doing their best to make sure we don't get the plans that can help people,
right,
especially younger people.
Well, I'd like to start a planned a program to abolish the AARP. Steve, let's move.
The best thing to do for people is just to stop paying their dues and quit the thing.
That's exactly right. Steve, I want to talk about some people I'm concerned about right now, and they're on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, and these are the neo-protectionists, the people who do not like free trade, they don't like the global economy, they're looking at this thing the wrong way, but there's some people up there in Washington, Steve, who have some power, who, in my opinion, could really take us back to the 1930s if we don't watch it. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a very real danger, and I think it's a misunderstanding about trade in and of itself. Trade is a transaction between two parties. Let's say we buy paper. Forbes magazine buys paper from our supplier. That's a trade transaction. If the supplier happens to be in Canada, it's cross-border. But we do it because we think we provide value added. The paper supplier sells it because they think they can make money selling the paper. It's a good transaction for both sides. And what I think sometimes happens is that people get confused between wrenching changes in the economy and free trade. Free trade does not cause the wrenching changes. You look at the railroad industry, Jim. After World War II, railroads employed more than 1 million workers.
Right.
Today, they employ about 200,000.
Right.
Those jobs didn't go to India or China. They just disappeared.
That's right.
So we need the flexibility to stay ahead so we don't get done in by competition.
And I want to remind everybody what times on this show, what Basquiat said in 150 years ago, when goods cross borders, armies don't. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Steve Forbes. He's the author of Flat Tax Revolution.
Standing on the mountain looking down on a city, the way he ought to be is a dog.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't want to miss a second. We don't have to of our visit with our good friend Steve Forbes, and he's your good friend too, folks. If you, whether you know it or not, I hope you know it now. By now, Steve Forbes is a good friend of small business. He believes in what you do. He believes in the marketplace. And Steve, for all the things that you do that help small business owners have the maximum opportunity to be successful, we thank you.
Well, thank you for being an advocate, because without an advocate in this world, forces of reaction would destroy it.
Well, I appreciate
that's the sad truth.
I appreciate it. Steve, your book, Flat Tax Revolution, is so important. I do believe, in terms of the long-term health of this country and our economy, that this may be the most important book of the year. And it ought to become a classic, at least until... Actually, Steve, I have a goal. I'd like to see this book become obsolete. I'd like to see your book become a relic and a figment of the past. after we pass flat tax.
I would love that. I'd love to say.
Wouldn't that be great to say?
Not need it anymore.
Don't read this book. We don't need it anymore.
Exactly.
What do we got to do to make that happen?
I think there the key is, again, like on health care, is taking the time. It only takes a minute or two each month to call your representative. They'll shuffle you off to somebody else, but say you're interested in the tax simplification, interested in the flat tax, and you're wondering what your congressman, congresswoman, senator is doing about it. And if enough people do it, and you're a constituent, that's the key. If they know you're a constituent, they will start to pay attention. They'll start to realize that there's a real ferment out there for it. Writing occasional letters to the editor. If you have time, do participate in some of these blogs. Those are the kind of things. It doesn't take a lot of effort, but if enough people do it, waters start to stir.
Well, do you think there really isn't much going on right now with forest flat tax? There really isn't even a debate going on right now, is there?
Well, in Washington, it's brain dead.
Yeah.
You saw it in health care. You've seen it in other areas. They could barely extend the tax cuts of 2003, Jim, and that should have been a given, done permanently right after the election, and then move on to real reform. And here we are 2 years later, and, boy, we get these crumbs coming along.
Yeah. You know, Nancy Pelosi was excoriating the FEMA. She said, you know, any organization that's ineffective, we ought to abolish it. And I thought, well, shouldn't you people in glass houses not throw rocks?
Yeah. What about Congress?
Exactly. That was my exactly. I mean, well, I thought it was so funny that the terms, the language she used to talk about FEMA. You know, you could apply it. I mean, if you didn't know what organization she was talking about, you'd say, well, that sounds like Congress.
Yeah, and not to mention a bunch of other agencies which people like Nancy Pelosi protect. By the way, Nancy Pelosi portrays herself, Jim, as a big friend of organized labor, you know, the downtrodden workers.
Right.
Do you know that her vineyard in California uses non-union grape pickers?
Very interesting.
And that her and her husband's restaurants use non-union labor?
Huh.
Hypocrisy, hello.
That's right, exactly. speaking of those workers, we got about a couple of minutes left, Steve. Did the Senate pass something recently? Didn't they just pass something on the immigration? Did they pass amnesty yesterday?
I'm not sure what the specifics are on a bill like that. You've got to look at the specifics to see what they've actually done.
What does Steve Forbes think that we ought to do about 12 million illegal aliens and all the ones to come?
Well, I think that's two par problems. One is stopping the flow.
Stop the bleeding.
And two, what do we do with those who are here? Those who are here, I think we've got a variety of things we have to do. Find out who they are. If they want to stay, they've got to pay their taxes, pay the fines, learn the English language.
But don't you, let me stop you for a second. Don't you think that paying back taxes and fines is never going to happen? Can't we forgive that part of it so we can get these people started off fresh?
But in terms of we know they came in, they broke the law.
Right.
You've got to realize they did that. Fine, take care of it and move on. But two aspects of it, Jim, that have not been, I think, sufficiently paid attention to. One is our own immigration procedures are a nightmare. People who try to play by the rules are punished.
That's right.
And it's not just gardeners and contractors and folks like that. This is high tech. People, we need brains, but we can't. If we need scientists, these companies can't get them. And guess what? They move overseas. And another thing is, to be blunt, the Mexican economy is dysfunctional. That should be growing at 8 to 10% instead of 3 to 5.
With all the opportunity that NAFTA gave it, they've squandered that, haven't they?
They have. They should be doing what Ireland did, India, China, and they haven't.
Steve, I got to wrap it up. Great visit today. Thank you for your time very much, and thank you for all you do for America.
Thank you, Jim, and you too.
See you later. Steve Forbes, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll see you live on Memorial Day.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.